Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in today to our boardroom chat. So many people love these boardroom chats, especially with me and you kind of iron sharpeneth iron. We're hitting it, and we might do that today.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Don't you like being controversial?
No.
No. But, you know, controversy is in the Word of God.
Really?
It brought a lot of controversy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does. But I want to read this scripture. And how you handle it is how you say it. Go with me today to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. And I love this little verse of scripture, but yet it has so much depth and meaning in it. And that's verse 6. It says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So to answer everyone, it has to be done with speech, not just action. Speech is a very powerful, powerful thing.
Yeah.
There's been a controversy in the church from this very beginning about women.
What is it about women?
What is it about women? And I'm explaining something to you. And you got to understand what Christianity did at the very beginning of its inception. I wrote this down as I was coming over. Paul said something that was amazing. He said, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female." Look how many centuries it took to get rid of slavery in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed that to happen until it finally got to a point that their speech began to think, wait a minute. They can say, this is not that the Bible was wrong. It was working with the time of that day.
What verse did you read right there? Was that Galatians?
No, this is about neither Jew nor Greek.
Is that Galatians?
Yes, I think it is in Galatians, but I'm in Colossians.
Right.
But that's not the verse I'm going to. I want to get controversial because you got to understand why. Christianity was designed to break down the barriers of sex. Male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. It was also to break down the barriers of nationality. One family, one faith.
Right.
But you see, in that time that Jesus, and he worked with that. At that time, in Jesus' time, in Paul the Apostle's time, there was a vast difference about how men thought about women. And different things, and God worked with that. So when Paul started this, the church that caused this to explode was the church at Corinth. So go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. I want to go to that. And then I want you to address this too, Kathy. And I want you to really listen to me because I may say some things that aggravate you, but I'm going to have my speech seasoned with salt, which means by the time it's all said and done, you're going to like the flavor.
Salt's important.
1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here's where it starts.
What verse are we going
to? Not quite yet. Let me tell you. First thing first.
Okay.
When the Holy Ghost failed, who was praying continuously? The women. If you read the book of Acts, at 10 days after, they prayed continually, steadfastly in the faith. Okay, you got to understand now that when Paul said this, women got excited. They began to speak in tongues. They began to prophesy because Philip's daughters were prophesying. And he had to set some rules in order because it was if you're going to touch everything in the world, you got to work with some of their ways of thinking. So, but remember, it was designed to break down the barriers of sex, to break down the barriers of nationality, all these things. Now, here's the verse I want to get to in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. Well, let me read verse 33 first. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted of them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That right there has caused more trouble, because what has happened is that God was using women, and they literally exploded praying in tongues, the gift of tongues, the interpretations of tongues, the different things that were going on. And all of a sudden, men did not like this. And Paul had to understand something here. If I'm going to get this church out to the world, which God told him to do, because he was going to the world of the Gentiles, I got to fix some of this stuff, because they were butting heads. And the women were saying, hey, honey, what about this? And what about that? So he told them, I don't want y'all speaking in tongues much. And you can prophesy, but don't. In other words, trying to work within that framework of the Jewish world and of the Gentile world of that day. Even the Gentile women were very submissive to Gentile men as well as vice versa, see. But Christianity was designed to break all that. And when Paul said those things, it caused a lot of confusion. Not that what he said was confusing, because it wasn't. But we people in that day didn't know how to receive that. Look how long it took the church to actually condemn slavery, and yet the Bible allowed it. See, so you could get to the point where you could receive that. Now watch that. Let's go over to the New Testament. People read stuff that women should watch their hair adorning and makeup, and they called you Jezebel, even in my generation. There are some denominations that a woman is not allowed to wear makeup. And they took that such a degree that the cause, actually, it's bondage. When the Bible said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So they said, women can't preach. Well, I've said this before, and you might have heard me say it. The mother of Jesus Christ was Mary. You mean to tell me she can carry the word in her womb, but she can't speak the word with her mouth? Now, something wrong with that. Carry God dwelt, who became flesh and dwelt among men. Now, before he could dwell among men, he had to dwell inside of Mary.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? She was carrying the word. But that means she can't speak the word? She can't teach it? And if you go through the Bible, you'll find that women, most of them, the Apostle Paul's ministry had more women in it than, and he had a lot of men, but women were really the kind of the leaders in certain areas. You got to understand, most of the time he said Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla was more dominant than Aquila. Now, sometimes he said Aquila and Priscilla, but her name comes out first more times than Aquila. Now, I want to read this when I wrote this down so you can understand what I'm talking about. When the gospel entered Europe, guess who brought it? Lydia. She was a dye maker.
Businesswoman.
Yeah. Bring it in. Watch this. Phoebe, a deaconess at the Church of Centura, I think is the name of that place, was the bearer of the epistle to the church at Rome. Priscilla's name, almost, not all the time, almost always name, is mentioned first before Aquila. Paul talks about Apphia. This is a woman, is the recipient with Philemon and Archippus to the letter at Colossae. The one we just read it here, but see. So a lot of people ask me one time, they say, well, women, they can't pastor. But they can be an apostle. They can be a prophet. They can be an evangelist. They can be a teacher, but they can't be a pastor. You see, your problem is you're dealing with something that Paul said way back when, so he could get this church out to the world. But if he was against women speaking, now he had to do that at the Church of Corinth, because they were going to slap crazy out. They were shouting, praising, and that's good, but there was disorder. That's why he said, I don't want no confusion here in the church. So he went the Jewish way and the Gentile way to make you understand what was going on. Now, this way it's going to get controversial. I'm going to turn it over to Kathy and let her take the hit. Now that we have an understanding even greater, not than the Apostle Paul by no means, but of that day, I see my wife wearing earrings and, she got some nice pearls on, lipstick, mascara.
Pants. I got pants under this table.
And now nobody more think twice about that than a man unless one little sec that says that's a sin. Not that we have gone away from the scripture. Actually, we've got deeper into the scripture because we realized we have to work within this time frame. That doesn't mean we yield to that. I'm talking about the sin. Like right now they're saying is, how can God is love? So now there's no such thing as homosexuality. There's no such thing as sin, because this great loving God, he would never send nobody to hell. He never has sent anybody to hell. They sent themselves. You see, you understand what I'm saying? So I personally believe that women can pastor a church. And the reason why, because the ability is not that when Kathy's preaching that she's usurping authority over me. What she's doing is giving me something that I need to hear. Now, I don't care if it comes from a woman or a man or a dog, as long as give me what the Word of God is saying. And it's amazing to me, out of the five, the executive branch of God's government, a woman can do four but not five, and that's a pastor.
Right, because
now, I know people are going to disagree with me, and you have that right. You see what I'm saying? So now, Kathy, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree with all of it,
praise
of course.
Praise God.
I just think the whole controversy is so ridiculous, because, and it's not just in some areas of the Christian church and some doctrines mm-hmm. or some denominations. It's, you see this across the world. The only religion in the entire world, the only that ever gave freedom to women was Jesus, actually Christianity.
Completely.
Because, and if you don't believe women, that God values women and their contribution to the plan of God or to the spreading of the gospel, what do you do with the woman at the well? What do you do with Mary Magdalene, who Jesus said, go tell the men that I had risen,
and an evangelist.
That he had risen from? Jesus didn't say to Mary, go get the men, tell them to come over here. I have a great important message to give to them. Jesus gave the most important message that mankind has ever heard to a woman named Mary Magdalene, because she was there at the tomb that day and saw him. And she went around telling everybody, he's alive, he's alive. In fact, there were some men, when the men heard it, they didn't like it. They didn't understand it. They rejected it because when Jesus came into that closed room, and they were hidden behind the door, the locked door, after his resurrection, he rebuked them for not listening to the women.
That's right.
So I believe that Jesus was a barrier breaker. And I believe that the words that Paul wrote in Corinthians, also in 1 Timothy, he was speaking to a particular problem in a particular church. When he wrote 1 Timothy, he was writing to the church at Ephesus, a Gentile church. He's writing to the Corinthian church, which had to learn about order. He was speaking, the first verse you read, he was speaking about the order in a church with regard to prophesying and praying in tongues and church order. And even in our church today, whether a man or a woman stands up and gets out of order, we're going to correct that.
That's correct.
And so, but the point was, he was just showing them a discipline. And that day, many of the women weren't educated. They weren't trained. And they didn't understand a lot of things. And so the custom was where the men and women would sit on different sides. So, and in that situation, when he was teaching, it was common for people to stand up. Usually the men would stand up and say, hey, what about this? I don't understand that. And so they would ask a question. Sometimes the women would stand up and ask the men's questions. This is what I understand about the culture of that day and what was going on. So Paul was writing to a specific problem. He wasn't saying women can't be silent, because if they were silent, how could they prophesy? If they're silent, how can they come forward, even in our churches today, come forward and if someone gives an invitation for salvation and say, repeat after me, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. They couldn't even say that. So how ridiculous is it to take it so far to the extreme about the silence. The word silent, in some translations, when it's talking about women keeping silent, it actually is translated interrupt. Do not interrupt the service, basically, to ask your husband a question across the sanctuary.
Right.
Apparently, that was a problem that was going on at that time. Paul wrote many of these letters to address specific problems that were going on at that time. Many of those things we can learn from today, and some of them were unique to that culture of that time. So we can't take things out of proportion. Jesus himself gave the message of that he was alive to a woman. He spoke to a woman and the disciple at the well. The disciples were shocked to see him even doing this, a Samaritan woman. Not only was she a woman, she was a Samaritan woman. And he revealed himself as the Messiah to her. And that message transformed her life so much that she left the well, left her water pot there and went to her village, and the entire village was born again because of the testimony of one woman. And you know, and they always think about, well, she don't have to be silent unless she's in church. Well, when we're gathered, one or two are gathered in the name of Jesus, for he's right there. A church is not a building. A church is a group of people. So God has given us all a voice to say and something to declare. In fact, I love the Psalms 168, verse 11 in the Amplified Bible. It says, the Lord gives the word of power. Power. The women who bear and publish the news are a great host. So especially in these last days, why would God dismiss 50% of the population? Or maybe, I don't know what the ratio is, men to women in the world today, but God wants to use every available voice, men and women, even children, old women, young people, no matter what race. I love the verse of that Paul said in Galatians, and this is the Passion Translation, chapter 3, verse 26, it says, and we are no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ,
with no distinction. What does that mean? Is what I said. Christianity was designed to break the barrier of sex. Get that in your mind. To break the barrier of nationality. To break it. To get rid of it. To make one family, one faith, which takes all of us to do that.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, that is the risk. And Paul saw that was not going to get across to the Gentile church. It wasn't going to get to the Jewish church because women were speaking in tongues, men were speaking, and everybody getting into confusion. That's why he said, okay, he had to work within that framework. You see what I'm saying? You got to understand, that's why he said there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free. Now, if you believe that verse, a woman can pastor, she can preach, she can pray, she can do it, because she's not a woman. She's not a man. She is a representative, or he is a representative, call it what you want, of God. That is the key that people need to understand, that Christianity, to get across to the world, to get it over there, it was designed to break that sex barrier, to break that nationality barrier, to make Christianity one family, one faith, one baptism, different things. Now we got two different baptisms. You know, people are always thinking, are you baptized in the name of Jesus, or are you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you what I'm saying. I'm glad you got wet. I want you baptized, okay? So if you want to use all of them, name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, Jesus' name, okay, that's me. You want to just use the name of Jesus? That's okay. I want you to understand what baptism means. You see, that you are risen with Christ. That is the gist of what it's saying there. But it's the same way when a woman is preaching the word of God. Now, I know some people are going to disagree, and that's why I said it's kind of nice to be controversial. So let your speech be seasoned with grace, God's unmerited favor, and salt. This is what Paul was doing, because the verse above said there's confusion here. So you had to work within that guideline. Now, Lydia, she was a debt to the churches. The Gentiles owed her a debt. And these women that went out there to do this thing. And if you ever notice, if you go to a prayer meeting, for every one man praying, you're going to have five women praying. Why? Well, most of the time, women do a lot of the work. Gail go after it and do it. And even Pastor Cho said it wouldn't have been for his mother-in-law, his church wouldn't have done it, because she's the one that came up with Prayer Mountain and things. Just going forward. So what I'm saying is, I think we need to get away. People say, well, the Bible says it. Now you're going to get mad at me when I say this. And I've said it before. Everything in the Bible is truthfully stated, but not everything in the Bible is a statement of truth. When Eve told the devil, I can't. God told me not to look at it, or taste it, or touch it. God never said she couldn't touch it. She added that word. When you listen to Satan, you're going to add words to what God said. And that was truthfully stated, but not a statement of truth, because God told Adam, he didn't say nothing about not touching it. He said, just don't eat it, don't let, because the day that you do, you should surely die. And that's Genesis chapter 2. And then Genesis chapter 3, you see the conversation between Eve and Satan, and she said, he told me not to look at it or touch it. But God didn't say anything about touching it. You see what I'm trying to say? So that's what I mean. A lot of things are added because we hear all these things. When your speech must be seasoned with grace and salt. So to me, when I go to church, I just want to hear something from God. Now to me, when a prophecy comes forth and a woman's given a prophecy, I listen just as strong as if a man gives a prophecy. Why? It's the word of God. I'm not thinking that she usurping authority. Now, when I married this woman, that priest that we were married, Holy Rosary Catholic Church, said a word that most people hate, submit. Submit to your husband. Now, people misinterpreted that to a point that she got to be a slave, kiss my feet, kiss the ring. No, that's not true. What I mean is that, in other words, become one with each other. And then God, Jesus says, I'm stronger than the word submit to a man. He said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, he died for God, man. And the Bible said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So that's actually a stronger statement for men than a woman saying submit to a husband. Now, Kathy, does she submit to me? Sometimes, not all the time, but it's not bad. And sometimes I don't submit to her. She wants me to do something. I don't want to do that. And sometimes I want to do something. But then we come together because, you see, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, which means we begin to kind of hit each other. And then both of us figure out in the middle of those sparks, we saw something that both of us didn't see. And then we came together and got something done. Like a prime example was that anytime me and Kathy have an argument, usually it's about ministry. Because you could call it a weight. It's not a burden to me. I love it. But what happens is I never get away from it.
It's a responsibility.
Yes, it's an awesome responsibility. So we'd be going down the road, and let's say we're going to our favorite restaurant in New Orleans, Mr. B's. We like it, okay? All of a sudden, she'll start arguing with me about something in a minute. And I'll say, and this has happened several times. I'll say, Kathy, stop. I said, that problem is not going anywhere. We will deal with that on Monday when we get back to the office. I said, today we're going to have a nice day. We're going to have a nice lunch. We're going to talk, fellowship. And she goes, okay, now I'm going to switch it over to me. There's been some time I'm saying, Kathy, and I'm kind of chewing on. She'll say, Jesse, stop. Stop. That problem ain't going away in this car. We'll handle that when we get back to the office on Monday. But in the midst of my iron sharpening her iron and her iron sharpening my iron, we found out that we had a day off, that we could go enjoy each other, have a nice lunch, enjoy ourselves, walk around the French Quarter if that's what we wanted to do or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But if we'd have let that all go on, it would ruin the day. Paul never meant women be silent in the church to ruin the day. Hmm. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He meant to stop the confusion. And man, you see all the different women that he had in his ministry. And I mean, it was a blessing of the Lord, but he had to work within that framework so people would accept Christianity in the Gentile church as well as the Jewish church. But as far as him, you want to know what he thought? There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female. He was saying this Christianity breaks the barrier of sex, breaks the barrier of nationality, makes one family, one faith, one baptism. Are you getting that? I want to answer that question. Should women be silent in the church? Well, like Kathy said earlier, there's no way. First, women have never been silent in their lives. That's not a shot. Thank God they say things. Thank God that it works. See what I'm saying? Yeah. So I learned to receive. I mean, I hire people. It's amazing how God put me and Kathy together and probably put you and your husband together, whatever. Kathy's weaknesses is my strengths. My weaknesses is her strengths. Now, we didn't know that before we knew each other, that God would take her weaknesses and make it my strength and my weaknesses and make it her strength so we could have a marriage, so we could have a ministry, so we could flow. But you see, he made us one, but he still kept her personality intact and kept my personality intact. You see, now what Kathy don't like me to do, and I got a habit is, I snap my fingers, which is, don't you put your snap fingers at me. But I don't mean it that way. What I'm trying to do is get her attention. But in her little mind, she'll go, you don't snap your finger. Who do you think you are? You know what I'm talking about. But I didn't mean it that way. So that can cause confusion. So the best thing to do is do this. You didn't hear it, did you?
I don't even have to say anything. I just have to look at it.
Oh, yeah. Just miss the snap. You see, so that's what I'm talking about. This is when Paul was saying, let your speech be seasoned with be with grace and seasoned with salt. Salt makes things taste good. But watch this. If you put too much salt on it, you can't eat it. So anything can be taken to the extreme. I personally believe, and I know some United Pentecostal people going to get mad at me about this. I personally believe that women can cut their hair. Paul said that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Because the Jews, the men didn't have long hair. The women had long hair. But if he'd have been in India, he wouldn't have said that. If he'd have been, because he's Indian, they got long hair. They wouldn't have, if he'd have saw the American Indian, he wouldn't have said that.
Well, he was talking to customs of that day.
If you want to understand, that's the key.
If you want to take it all the way, let's all the men wear robes, okay, like they do in the Middle East. I mean, but you don't.
No.
I mean, that's a custom of the day. And so you have to learn to rightly divide the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, there's a right way to divide it and a wrong way to divide it. And a lot of people take the wrong way, and it's caused so much controversy and hurt in the church. And many women that God has used over the years, many times I've read, researched many of them, they felt the call on their life, and they were hesitant because of all the wrong teaching they had heard. Mm-hmm. And years later, they stepped into it, and God used them greatly. But, you know, it's not like that with a man. They feel a call, they step in, and everybody seems to accept it.
Because it's the tradition. When you start sweating.
I don't want to tell them about that.
No, but when men sweat and when you sweat.
Oh,
yeah,
that.
That's what I'm talking about. What you were thinking about.
I don't want to go there. What you had on your mind.
There.
Well, the menopause issue we used to make.
Oh, no, I don't want to talk about the menopause. Tell them about when you were preaching and you start sweating.
Oh, yeah, I would preach.
This is funny, but it's true. It's really a truth, she said.
I would start sweating, and because the fire of God comes on me when I'm preaching, the word is so powerful, and I just sense it in that way. And I'm sure I would address it. I'd say, I know you probably think I'm having a hot flash. But it's not a hot flash. It's when the men preach and they sweat, they say, look at that anointing. And when the women sweat, they say, oh, she's having a hot flash.
Yeah, that's funny,
but it's true. I'm experiencing the power and presence of God in the same way that Jesse does when he grabs that towel maybe and wipes the sweat off his face. I have to be a little more careful because I'm wearing the makeup.
Right. But see, that's funny, but that's a truth. That is the truth. If I'm sweating, it's the anointing. If she's sweating, she got menopause. Most menopause happens with women. I don't know why. Why does a woman have to go through it? I don't know. You have to ask God. I don't know why he put that in a woman's body. I don't know.
We saw a quote from, George Whitfield that said he just loved that experience. And I love the experience, too. I don't like the way I look because it looks shiny and sweaty. But he would say, oh, for a good pulpit sweat.
Oh, yeah.
There is something to be said for when that anointing comes upon you and you know that God is speaking through you. It takes everything to another level. Not only do you sense it, but the people that God has called you to speak to, they sense it, and there's something electric that's in the room. That's the anointing of God, and God calls people, and he places his anointing on them, and I believe that woman at the well, after she heard the words of Jesus, was anointed with the message that she proclaimed to that whole city, because they believed enough to come to him, and then they convinced him to stay with them for a couple of days. He did, and then they made this statement. It says, now we don't believe him just because of your word. We believe him because we heard him.
Yeah.
We all have to hear from God. And
Amen.
God is speaking to all of us, and he's calling. I heard testimony of young teenage girls that are not just preaching the gospel. They're pastoring in other nations like China. And
they have
large congregations in different countries. In fact, even in this nation, when they have denominations who restrict women from having any ability to preach in the pulpit to men and to mixed congregation. They'll let them talk to the women, but they restrict them, but they will also send some of those same women out to the foreign field, and they could be over thousands, have congregations.
And preach every Sunday.
And preach there, and that's okay, and that's at work. It doesn't even make sense in that way.
I'm going to make this so simple you can't misunderstand it. Kathy can make a good gumbo. Ooh, Lord. Okay, good. Watch this. I can't. If I tried that, the dog would eat. He'd spit and vomit.
Yet he still tries to give me instructions.
I still try to give instructions.
While I'm over the pot in the kitchen, I said, go sit down. You don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, why? But I don't feel she's usurping authority over me. Why? Because she can do something I can't. all I do is enjoy the gumbo and I eat it. All I want to do is be fed. So when I see a woman, don't get mad at me now, I see a woman pastor the church, you know what she's doing? She's cooking a gumbo. She's feeding the flock. Do you see what I'm saying? Go back to my original statement. Christianity was designed to break the barrier of sex, to break the barrier of nationality, to make one family, one faith, and one baptism, everybody working together, flowing in the Holy Ghost. I would not have got saved if she wouldn't have witnessed and prayed for me. So in actuality, she was preaching to me to get right. You see what I'm saying? But I understand our culture, and we still got that. It's a man's world, but notice that that's kind of going away. Now, when women, really women, what do you call that? A women's lib. I remember when I was a teenager, women were burning their bras. I'm going to tell you, I am woman. I am. Okay. Yeah, but look what happened now since you've done that. You hardly have no respect anymore. People will cuss in front of you. They won't open up a door. If you walk in there, if a woman's running, you open that door, you didn't have to know who that woman was. You just did it. You see what I'm saying? You lost that respect. You lost that honor. Think about that. Now, today, we have great women that are CEOs of major corporations and companies on Wall Street. Powerful, smart as a whip. I mean, good. But notice this. Heart attacks always hit men. Y'all ever heard of a woman having a heart attack? Now, look at me when I do this with my hand. You can't tell the difference. They equal now. Because of the word called stress. Stress on a man, stress on a man. Stress don't care what sex you are. It'll hurt you. And now they've got that by having that liberty. But you know what? I'm glad that women should be paid the same as men. That's a prejudice to pay a woman less because she's a woman. That's wrong. I'm going to say that that's wrong. Don't do that. You pay according to their ability. Can you do this job? Yeah, good. We do that here at Jesse the Prince Ministries. There is no women work for us. There's no men to work for us. It's just people with qualities and understanding. So I want to name this, should women be silent in the church? When you read that, I want to end this thing with this statement. This is what Paul was saying, because he said women should be silent in the church. He also said there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free. No male or female. Okay. Now, see, you got something kicking against each other here. The same man said the same thing. God called Eve Adam. Adam called Eve Eve. It's not dealing with the sex here. It's dealing with one. Remember that. Let me say it again. Christianity was designed. And then you'll understand a woman pastor, a woman apostle, a woman evangelist, a woman teacher, a woman prophet, designed to break the barrier of sex, to break the barrier of nationality, to create one family, one faith, one baptism, so we can all make heaven our home. Think about that. I want you to actually think about that and see what God will say to you. Because remember this, the same man that said women should be silent did say there's neither male nor female. Right? So go home instead of going, no, go home. Go home and let God put that in your heart. And you know what? You'll give honor to whoever's behind that pulpit. And you won't feel like they're usurping authority over you. That ain't got anything to do. You come there to learn. A church is a school where you learn. I hope you learned something today. Jesse and Kathy say it. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.